Welcome back, everyone, to a long overdue episode of the Lakers Outsiders podcast. We couldn't have timed it any better with NBA news. Totally unintentional. But we will jump right into that here soon. First, before we get started, I have to introduce my my guest, my partner in crime, my dynamic duo. Hani, how many burner accounts do you have?
Listen, as far as anybody's concerned, I only have one burner account, but I'm not going to tell you about all the ones that I use to talk trash about you and Gary and everybody else.
There's really nothing else we can lead off this podcast with. It's indirectly related to the Lakers, but I mean, we're recording this an hour or so after the Ringer story on Brian Colangelo, who Sixers, president of basketball ops, I believe, or GM, or both, I don't remember the exact title, apparently has, for those that missed it, 5 burner accounts that he, I can't even do it justice. He's trashing players on the team and those that are off the team. He's revealing information that nobody else would really know, except people that work with the team. It's an incredibly insane story. 100% after this podcast, if you're watching live, go to the Ringer's website. Go read it. It was a story that, as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, this is insane. And then the next section comes up, and oh my God, this is more insane. And then the next section, it's, holy, what in the world? Why is he tweeting about Julia Okafor? He's still on his team. And it's just like, it kept going and going. And Hani, what was your initial reaction as you're reading that?
Just high level comedy. I could not stop laughing at the fact that an NBA executive who's worked with multiple teams, who's worked with Team USA, he's like a super famous, unbelievably rich person, felt the need to have a burner account to basically protect his own reputation, to talk trash about other people. Like, he went as far as to basically make fun of Masai Ujiri and say that he's not doing a good enough job in Toronto, because Ujiri was his successor in Toronto and they've been way more successful with him than they were with Colangelo. I don't know. It was just, like you, I thought it was insane. There were different parts of it where I was like, there's no way that somebody like with his position would ever do this, but everything seems believable. And my one theory that I will... This will be the hill that I die on, and you and I talked about this already, but Sam Hinkie 100% was the anonymous source that tipped off that reporter about the burner accounts.
That's canon. That's 100%. Like, no, that is 100% what happened, which makes this more incredible. Like, I'm just going to invent. I don't care if, like, the person's identity eventually does come out who tipped him off. No, it's Hinkie. I guess to kind of spin this towards the Lakers, one of my first thoughts after kind of digesting everything and getting on Twitter to find out that they've tracked part of the phone number that, like, beat writers are confirming is the last digits of Colangelo's, and they're tracking email addresses and stuff. One of my first thoughts was, like, we are just over a month away from free agency. And holy hell, is this a terrible look for the Sixers going into free agency, where a lot of people thought that they'd be big players, and they still might be, but they'd be big players for LeBron, for Paul George. Maybe they'd trade assets to get Kawhi. That wouldn't really change with this. But am I wrong to think that this is going to have a pretty big negative impact on their free agency?
No, because, like, I think right now everything about that organization just, like, becomes under question. You don't know if Colangelo is even going to have his job by the time free agency comes around. And so if you're a big time free agent, like a LeBron or a Paul George, a lot of people have kind of talked about the Sixers being a really good fit for them. You'd have to be wondering about the direction of that franchise and if they'd be able to get you the help that you think you need to succeed there. So I think it could have pretty big ramifications depending on what happens over the next month. I think that's a really good point. And I don't know how exactly the Sixers are going to kind of get over that by the time free agency comes around.
We're now living in a bizarro universe, the weirdest timeline, where the Lakers have a stable organization and one of their free agent competitors have a mess of a front office. Yeah. It seems like not that long ago, a little over a year ago, but in these previous summers where they're chasing free agents, it was always like Mitch and Jim versus Genie with some kind of weird family dynamic mixed in, and that's off-putting, we've seen. I mean, there's a lot of reasons free agents didn't sign with the Lakers, but, I mean, players take note of that. And when your GM or president of basketball ops, whatever Colangelo's official title is, when he's he's both. So I was right. He's president of basketball ops and GM. When he appears to be tweeting from a burner account, multiple ones, all this stuff about players on on his team currently, players are going to take notice. LeBron sees everything that goes on around the league. LeBron sees that. Paul George sees that. That's huge. And with only free agency a month away, there's not going to be really any rehabilitating that image. Like, this is one of the last things that's going to happen before we really head into free agency. This is incredibly damning for that organization. And as a Laker fan, it couldn't have come at a better time.
And you got to wonder if, like, you're LeBron and you always go through your 0-30-23 mode or whatever in the past, how would you feel about playing under a GM who's very much online all the time on multiple accounts?
It's hard to go 0-30 when your GM is tweeting out to random beat writers of your team exactly what's going on during 0-30. But anyway, that we needed to touch on that before we really got into these questions. We tweeted out asking you guys for questions. You gave us a lot, but it would be impossible to do this podcast tonight without touching on that. It's insane. I'm sure we're going to find out more information even by the time that you're listening to this podcast. If you're not doing it live, that we'll know more by then, that it's just going to make this insane. This is a crazy story. It's unreal. We didn't have a basketball game tonight, so I appreciate the Ringer for dropping this tonight and keeping us occupied. We'll dive into some of these questions. We have some questions about the draft, about free agency, about our own free agents, all kinds of stuff. The most important question we got, though, start off from Mike Garcia at Canyon Driver. Pawnee, what did you think of Weezer's cover of Africa?
Okay, well, obviously this is a very important topic to me.
Very.
If you don't know, Africa by Toto just has a very special place in my heart. It's an amazing song that I believe is very underrated and deserves to get a lot more credit than it does. One, I will say to that fan account that, like, got an actual band to cover a song for them with, like, pro-level production and all that, kudos to you. That is amazing stuff. I'm going to start harassing bands about covering other songs. And then number two, I thought it was okay. You know, it's a pretty good song. It's never going to be the original, right? Like, nobody's ever going to come close to Toto when it comes to Africa. But, like, I think it was a pretty cool, like, funky kind of take on it. It wasn't as great, but I didn't hate it, and I think that's all that matters.
I didn't mind it up to the chorus. I really didn't like the chorus, yeah. And I turned it off from that.
The chorus is so into that song that I get it. Like, if it's not the same, then it drops off.
Now to the stuff that you guys probably came here for, the Lakers talk. We'll start off with the draft. Relevant to today, LiAngelo Ball worked out with the Lakers today. Hani, I know you don't follow the draft a lot, but do you think he will be picked by someone in the second round?
I do not think so. From everything that I've heard, like, again, I don't really follow college basketball that closely other than my own team because they're amazing.
UCLA?
No, I'm talking about Nevada, but I am wearing a UCLA hat right now. I'm talking about next year's national champions, Nevada, the Nevada Wolfpack. Anyway.
Relax.
But from everything I've heard, LiAngelo just isn't an NBA player. He's getting workouts just like a lot of guys get workouts at this time of year, and teams are doing their due diligence, and he's the brother of a really highly thought of prospect, young prospect. So it makes sense that he's getting workouts with a few different teams, but I don't expect him to get drafted. I don't expect him to have an NBA contract. I think he could make it onto a summer league team this year, and maybe if like he plays out of his mind, he gets a deal or something, but that would honestly be pretty surprising to me. From what I've heard from, like, you know, drafts writers and scouts and whatnot, he seems like a guy that who could succeed pretty well in Europe if he actually commits to that. And he did okay in Lithuania. So I think that's more likely, is that he goes undrafted and gets a gig in Europe somewhere.
Before I give my thoughts, it's important to note, according to the Athletics, Phillies Athletic, the Athletic Phillies beat writer, sorry, that was a tongue twister. A trust the process chant has broken out at Dodger Stadium. The Phillies are playing the Dodgers tonight. Matt Gelb, I believe, or Gelb, I'm not sure you pronounce it, just tweeted it, well, a little over an hour ago. Incredible. On LiAngelo, there's really not a lot to add. I don't think he'll be drafted, regardless of what Phoenix Suns blogs may think. He is kind of an undersized stretch four. He's listed at 6'5", based on what some of the beat writers were talking about. He's shorter than that, closer to like something like 6'3".
Yeah.
Which is even worse. So I think, as you said, the Lakers have been known to do just a ton of due diligence with guys in the draft. And on top of that, it's basically a favor for Lonzo and LeVar. It wouldn't be anything more than that, in my opinion. Another draft question we got. Would you consider trading the 25th pick to Atlanta for number 30 and 34? I'll take this because, again, I don't think Hani knows a lot about the draft prospects in that area.
Very true.
I would consider the idea. Mainly because second round picks, the contracts are different. And with the Lakers potentially needing to kick the can down the road with free agency and kind of that uncertainty, I could see it potentially being an option. Also, a lot of guys in that range, once you get to about, I mean, really even almost as high as like 15 or so, maybe 20 to about 50, could play out in just a ton of different ways. So basically, if the Lakers see a couple guys that they like, it's still available at 25. I mean, they traded back last year, got an extra pick. So, yeah, it's certainly something that's possible. It depends really on what their board looks like. I don't see them doing it before they're on the clock. It just really kind of depends on how their board shakes out, who's still available, if there's still people, multiple guys they like, or who might not be there. It's certainly a possibility. I don't know if the Hawks would want to do that. They would really need to like somebody that's available at that spot. For the Hawks in the rebuild, it would make more sense to just keep both the picks and acquire a bunch of young players because they don't have much going for them right now. We'll jump to free agency and we'll start kind of in-house. There were a couple questions about Julius. This one's from at Stocky number six, I believe. If the Lakers go all out and sign two max free agents, what would they have to do to keep Randall? Trade Luol Deng, basically, is what it would come down to.
Yeah.
It's really tight with the money if you stretch Luol Deng. You would have to trade like your Kuzma and Hart, I think a couple guys like that, which probably wouldn't be worth it. If you sign two max free agents, you can trade first round picks because at that point we're probably talking about having LeBron and Paul George and we're going to be competitive. So getting rid of those first round picks doesn't hurt quite as much. But yeah, other than that, the salary cap math on that gets really tricky in keeping Randall if we sign two max free agents. The other option, albeit incredibly unlikely, is that Randall just takes a qualifying offer of, I think, about $5.5 million. But it's only for 1 year, and he becomes an unrestricted free agent next year. Given that he's had an injury in the past, I don't imagine I imagine he would look for security more than anything.
Yeah.
I don't see him doing that. The other one, I'll let you take this one, Hani, because you were actually talking about him the other night. If someone makes Julius an offer that the Lakers will not match, this is from at Kobe3. if someone makes Julius an offer we can't match, should we go hard after Capella?
It's actually really funny because you and I were talking about this, last night? And I made this exact comment that I said, if for whatever reason the Lakers weren't going to match an offer for Randall, that I would love for them to throw some money at Capella. I think he'd be a really cool fit with Lonzo. He's not a very good fit with Randall, so if Randall comes back, that it doesn't really work out as well. But he's a good fit with Lonzo as a pick-and-roll dive guy. He's a good fit with Kuzma because Kuzma can space the floor with him. He's a really good defender, really good screen setter, and rim roller. The only thing that, you know, kind of doesn't make sense to me with this is that I think Capella is going to make the same amount, if not more, than Randall. Just because, A, he's a really good player, and B, he's playing for a really, really good team, and people are just going to notice that more, and they're going to see him as a valuable part of that. So it's, I think, more likely that teams would offer up, like, bigger salaries to Capella, especially because if the Rockets are also in the market to get a Paul George or a LeBron James, their money is really tight and they probably wouldn't be able to bring Capella back anyway. So a team, and Capella's restricted, so a team wanting to tie up money on a restricted free agent might go for Capella instead, knowing that it's potentially more likely that the Rockets don't match.
I think the other thing to kind of note, everything's happened so fast with free agency that I don't know that I foresee a scenario in which Julius gets an offer, the Lakers decide they're not going to match it, and then they also submit an offer sheet for Clint Capella. Technically, everything's not supposed to happen and during the moratorium, but it does. So technically, there's 3 days after the offer sheet is given, I believe, which... Yeah. I think it's July 7th now.
Yeah, I think it's 2 days now. They changed that.
Yeah. Either way, by July 7th, I would imagine that we would know basically what's I would hope that we would know whether we've got LeBron and Paul George and the Lakers can move on with Julius. That's one of the benefits that you kind of hope that LeBron and Paul George make up their mind during that period. The Lakers will have basically until July 9th to, at the earliest, to figure out what they want to do with Randall. That being said, last time LeBron had a decision It lasted long into the into July. So who really knows? But I don't foresee them sending or giving Capella an offer sheet. And I don't foresee them losing Randall at this point either. He became too important. I'm not sure how you say this. Tony, I'll go with that. I can say that. Tony asked, if we strike out on LeBron and Paul George, do we just extend Randall and try for 2019 guys? I'll break this up. Do you think that they'll try for 2019 guys, or do you think they'll go after guys like Boogie and DeAndre Jordan?
I think it's more likely that they wait for 2019 guys, because I don't think so as far as Boogie goes, Boogie's coming off an Achilles injury. Basketball players very rarely come back in good form afterwards. Hopefully Boogie's back perfectly fine and he's playing as well as he always does, but that's obviously a big risk. And from, I believe Zach Lowe reported this a while back, is that if the Lakers don't get Paul George and LeBron, they're not likely to give a big contract to DeMarcus Cousins. I guess if nobody's willing to pay up big money to him and he wants to take a one-year deal, I could see it, but I doubt that happens. I would assume the Pelicans give him a big contract just because they'd want to keep him around and take that risk. DeAndre, again, like, he doesn't have the injury thing as much, but he's an older guy. He's, I believe, going to be 30 before the season begins. So giving him a four-year contract to a guy whose game really depends on athleticism, again, huge risk, and I don't think that the Lakers are crazy about that. The 2019 guys they would be targeting, there's guys like Klay Thompson, Kawhi, Jimmy Butler. Klay Thompson might sign an extension this summer. It seems like he's going to stay with the Warriors. The Kawhi situation, I'm sure we'll talk about eventually, but that's up in the air, and the Lakers are reportedly like really confident that they could sign him next year. So I think they would target him if they don't get anybody this year. And then Jimmy Butler as well, like, the Wolves aren't exactly a super stable organization right now, so he could be another guy that they could look for next year with less risk.
Kind of on note that we've been talking about, I do agree that they won't. Boogie, the Lakers saw firsthand what an Achilles injury does to a player. I think with that knowledge that they won't go after Boogie, paired with whether you – what side of the fence you're on, there are some kind of off-court attitude issues. I don't really buy them, but they're there. DeAndre, to be honest, I don't think he moves the needle enough for them, which is weird to say for a team that won 35 games this year. But if they're going to sign a big name, I don't think it – or for a contract that DeAndre will get, I don't think it'll be DeAndre. I think you can spend that money elsewhere. I think they'd rather kick the can down the road and just try again in 2019. Tony did ask a couple other questions, which we just talked about with Capella. Do you think that they, if they strike out on LeBron and PG, do you think that they'll go after restricted guys? He gave a couple names here. Aaron Gordon, Capella, who we talked about, Jabari Parker, LaVine, Marcus Smart. The Lakers historically have not messed around and restricted free agency at all. Mitch Kupchak was actually pretty outspokenly against it. Do you think that changes with this new front office at all, Hani?
None of those guys are really jumping out at me. Like, Aaron Gordon, I think, is the best player out of that bunch, but he's kind of redundant with Randall. Like, they kind of have the same skill set. Gordon shoots a little bit better. Randall, I think, passes a little bit better. It's kind of similar skill sets. I don't think it's changing much, unless the Lakers feel really strongly about starting Gordon and Randall together, which might be kind of disastrous. But
better than starting Ryan Kelly as a small forward.
Good Lord.
I've seen worse, so it's fine.
I just got some bad flashbacks. I still believe in Ryan Kelly. And then the other guys like Jabari Parker, no thanks. Zach LaVine, no thanks. Marcus Smart, despite him being a Celtic, I've always said I kind of like him, but like he doesn't really make sense for the Lakers as a dude that literally can't shoot. So like none of the big name restricted free agents, other than I guess Capella, but again, he doesn't really fit with Randall. So I don't think so.
I would take a chance on Jabari, but that's just so Gary has to root for another Duke player. Other than that, I think I could probably talk myself into Aaron Gordon just because he's so talented.
Yeah.
The rest of them, no. I don't want Marcus Smart. LaVine, he's still kind of freshly off that injury. I'm not crazy about those guys. The last question he had to that, do you think they'll go after any, like, he called them third tier free agents, like a Will Barton, a Derek Favors, Avery Bradley. You could probably throw Brooke Lopez and KCP in that group as well. Do you think that there's any chance that they, if they strike out, they just kind of throw some money at some mid-level guys and try to keep the core intact and win that way?
Yeah, I think it's just likely that if they strike out that they try to basically do the same thing they did this year and throw one-year deals at some decent but not great players like they did with KCP. They overpaid them for a year, but it didn't really matter because they weren't paying that money to anybody else. I think it's if that does happen, I think it's more likely that they just keep KCP and Brook around. But that depends on those two guys and their willingness to take short-term deals and stuff like that. So, I think that's the most likely scenario is if they strike out is that they go after those guys but keep them on short deals so that they can be players next year in free agency.
The only way they bring in any of those guys is, like you said, on – one-year deals. I don't imagine they sign any of those guys to long-term deals unless it's something like they did with Lou Williams where they can get him on a hell of a bargain, basically. But even then, you're cutting into free agent space. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't think that they'll go after any of those guys. The other one, there's two main players we haven't talked about. I guess three. At AffaBrain asked, why would PG leave OKC? He said, list the reasons why he would leave and why he would stay. And are there more reasons for him leaving or staying? Let's play. We haven't really done this part. Let's play devil's advocate a bit. I mean, what are the reasons that he would stay in OKC?
Well, I mean, they were obviously a playoff team already. He's playing with a star in Russell Westbrook, despite however much slander we throw at him. Sometimes deserved, sometimes not, but he's playing with another all-star. He genuinely seemed to, like, be really involved in that community. He played with another wing player, Andre Roberson, who kind of helped him out defensively. And together they were like really, really good defensively on the wings before Roberson got hurt. And Paul George was kind of in the defensive player of the year conversation for about half the season. What else?
I mean, that really, I think the biggest one is that they're a contender now. Yeah. And that you he may be able to talk himself into the fact that Andre Roberson really meant that much. Defensively, he did mean a lot. When he was there and when he was on the court, that team was a lot different than the team that ended up playing in the playoffs. I don't know that it would make the difference between them competing with the Rockets and the Warriors, mm-hmm. Especially with what we saw of both teams this playoffs. I think they have a level that the Thunder honestly don't have. But I think that's just the biggest point between the two is that they are a playoff team, as is. They've been a playoff team, and they have a superstar already there. There's no need right. to bring in a second one.
And depending on how self-aware Paul George is, like, I think he makes more sense as a second best player on a title team or like a contender or whatever. And that's the case in OKC. If he comes to the Lakers and the Lakers don't get anybody else, he has to be the best player. And you wonder like what the ceiling of that team is with them, even with the other guys getting better.
I think, well, one, even if he is self-aware, I highly doubt that he thinks he can't be the best player on a team.
Right.
Because two, he was the best player on those Pacers teams, and they were multiple times one game away from beating the Heat and making it to the finals.
Right.
So in that regard, I mean, I think he still can probably be the best player on a contending team. I don't know about a title team, but so I guess the flip side to this is, I mean, we've hashed out a lot of them, but I guess we could talk about it briefly. I guess what are the reasons for him wanting to come to LA then?
Young team that has potential to grow. Lot of cap space, a lot of flexibility with their money and their assets and bringing other guys that are better than Westbrook potentially to the team. Gets to live in LA. gets to be near his family. He seems to have been saying that he wants to be in LA for a while. So if he's kind of like banged that into his head and kind of convinced himself that that's the right thing to do, then he might already be thinking it. Again, they're not like kind of stuck in their situation like the Thunder mm-hmm. are. The Thunder can't really do anything else to improve their team, basically, at least for a year until Melo's contract goes off the books. And the Lakers, this year, they'll be able to pair him with somebody if they can convince someone. They can trade guys to get a different star like a Kawhi. And then if that doesn't happen next year, they still have money to do stuff. And their young guys are still getting better. And there's like natural growth on the team. So I think that's probably the biggest case for the Lakers other than just the location, basically.
The two things I would say the most, the one you touched on, it being home, he said a lot of things. He did say at one point that there's something effective, like there's nothing better than playing at home or playing. It was something along those lines. So that matters. But the other one you said is flexibility, which is the huge difference between where the Lakers are and where the Thunder are.
Mm-hmm.
He said some things along the lines of recruiting players to come to OKC. I'm not sure he's looked at the cap sheet. I hope that somebody sits him down and talks to him, because the Thunder are recruiting nobody except mid-level exception players.
They're recruiting Nick Young.
That's the difference, and so be it. But, yeah, I mean, that's legitimately the type of guys they're going to be recruiting. If he really wants to recruit, he can come to Los Angeles and recruit LeBron, or if we miss on him, Jimmy Butler or Klay Thompson or any of those guys. Those are the two things, though, that I think stand out, flexibility and playing at home. On top of them just simply being a young team on the up and up. Gun to your head right now. I know we've done this a couple times. Where is Paul? What jersey is Paul George wearing on opening night?
Since they don't wear the purple ones anymore, the gold ones.
So Lakers jersey is what you're saying. Sir. I don't know if we play on like when do we wear the Hollywood Knights jerseys? Like the last Friday of the month? Ooh, actually, I'm going to say the blue Minneapolis jerseys. We'll be wearing those. Hopefully we open against the Timberwolves.
In Minneapolis. This is the one time I want the Lakers to start a game on the road. Start the season on the road.
Yeah, but I think we're in agreement that he's coming to the Lakers. Then the last two names, I don't think we had any questions about LeBron, but I did want to touch on it. Does I guess what impact is LeBron making the finals again, dragging this Cleveland team to the finals? Does that really, in your mind, impact free agency at all? And I guess kind of the second question would be, does winning a title change it either?
I kind of go back and forth on a lot of that, because on one hand, he's able to get to the finals every year in the East. And it's pretty clear that the other teams in the East just aren't talented enough to be able to deal with how good LeBron is. No, there's no other players that are close to his level there. And none of the teams have enough just stacked talent that can beat him. Maybe that changes next year. Say the Celtics get Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back and they get even better. Maybe that changes. But for now, it just seems like he's going to be running the East forever. But to me, I sometimes think that that doesn't really matter to a guy like LeBron, because the only thing that should matter to him is winning titles. Like, yeah, it's a part of his legacy that he gets to the finals year after year and he's made 8 straight finals. That's amazing. But I don't think it's what he's going to be remembered for, rather than the number of titles that he ends up with. So if he thinks that there's a different situation in the league, regardless of conference, that gives him the best chance to beat the Warriors, then I think he would go to that place. Remember winning the title? I think you and I were kind of talking about this the other day. I'm not entirely sure how it would affect him. Maybe, like, I tend to think that it would keep him in Cleveland, because it's telling him that his team is good enough to keep competing with the Warriors and every other really good team, and that he has a chance to win a title every year because he's going to make the finals every year. And if he loses and they get embarrassed and lose in 4 or 5 again, then maybe he says, hey, this team is never going to be good enough to beat the Warriors. I need to go somewhere else to be able to do that.
That's a way I hadn't really thought of it. I was really only looking at it through Lakers tinted glasses. I would say that I've never thought LeBron was coming.
Yeah.
That always felt more like a pipe dream. So my mind's not really been changed. I've always thought Houston is the most likely team. And judging by how close they got, I think that probably holds firm. They can keep Harden, Paul, Capella, and add LeBron. They can't do much else other than that. But considering how close they were, and that 4 might be enough to beat the Warriors, I don't really think anything changes based on him making the finals, and even if he wins it. In fact, I mean, it was a point I hadn't thought of. If he wins the finals, wins another title, and maybe it does let him stay around. I always looked at it more as like it'll be easier for him to leave because he's given them 2 titles. He's right. Done what he wanted to do twice, and he can kind of go right off into the sunset in L.A. Either way, I think he's in a Rockets jersey on opening night, the start of the season. What jersey do you think he is in opening night?
I think he stays with the Cavs, honestly. I think he stays at least another year. I just don't see any other situations that seem like perfect enough for him to change his team. And with the Cavs, he's kind of just has immense leverage with them year after year, because he keeps signing that 1-year deal, which allows him to make the most money, basically. And he always has leverage by being able to influence all sorts of decisions, because they want to make sure he doesn't leave. So it's kind of a win-win situation for him, I think.
If that power really means something to him, too, I can't imagine any team giving him more power than he would have in Cleveland right now either.
Yeah.
Last player we were going to talk about, at Jonathan Soulful, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Big Baby Jonathan. Are the Lakers going to trade for Kawhi Leonard? I actually touched on this in a piece that ran today, if you didn't check it out. I talked about why I don't think it'll take Brandon Ingram or Lonzo Ball to get him, based largely on the trades for superstars we've seen in the last year and a half or 2 years. Whether or not the Lakers trade for him, though, is an entirely different subject. I think the only way that they go really hard after him is if they land LeBron and Paul George, and they basically did what LeBron did with Andrew Wiggins and shipped him out for a win-now piece. Whether that's Lonzo or Ingram, I would imagine it's probably Ingram because he's the worst of the two fits. I guess, what do you think? Do you think that's the only way they go after Leonard, or do you think they trade for him at all?
Yeah, I don't see a trade for Kawhi happening, and I don't think any team will trade for him. I think he's going to end up either signing an extension or that teams will just wait and see what happens in a year, and they'll try to get him as a free agent. But yeah, I don't see the Lakers. I guess I could see it happening with just Paul George. Like, if Paul George comes to the Lakers and they don't get LeBron and they want to go all in, I could see them shipping out some sort of pieces to get Kawhi right away. You kind of have flexibility with who you could choose in that sort of thing. And I go back and forth on what you said about Lonzo and Ingram not having to be included. I think the Spurs have like enough pull in negotiations to be able to get a really good young prospect out of it more than most trades for superstars. But I also see the point that, you know, it usually doesn't happen in trade value and all that. So I could see it happening, but I would put the odds at pretty low that they would trade for him.
And just as kind of a cliff notes of what I talked about in the piece, it was basically looking at trades for Boogie, for Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, I think I mentioned, and basically how every time each one of those players were traded, I think I even talked about Kyrie Irving, the reaction was, well, that was a terrible trade for whichever team traded away the superstar. And it happens every time, each time, over and over again. And basically just kind of look at it and say, well, maybe that's the norm. Maybe that's what the going rate for a superstar is, whether we as fans perceive the value differently. But I also noted both that the Spurs have a lot of negotiating power here. Kawhi's better than any of the players that were traded. And that it really doesn't matter how we perceive value. What really matters is what the 30 GMs and their front offices think.
And all the burner accounts too.
Yes, exactly. I guess we'll be scouring the web for burner accounts. But
I hope RC Buford has a burner account talking trash about Kawhi Leonard somewhere.
I'm going to be spending much of the night name searching for random Lakers to see if there's any similarities. The one last name I want to briefly touch on before we go, because I wasn't going to, but the more I thought about it, the more we might need to talk about it. Bill Simmons on a podcast, it was either late last week or early this week. I think it was late last week. Mentioned kind of in a passing by way of Kevin Durant possibly leaving the Warriors, and threw out the Lakers as a potential landing spot. My first response was to roll my eyes, whatever. It's Simmons, Bill Simmons being Bill Simmons. That's exactly how the LeBron James rumor started, and we spent a good chunk of the podcast today talking about it.
Yeah.
Is there any smoke to this? Do you think he leaves the Warriors at all?
I don't think so. I just don't see a reason to leave the team that's going to keep giving you titles, and that seems to be what he cares about. It has got me kind of thinking, though, like, how would – because I think right now, like, there's a lot of talk about KD's legacy among basketball people, because he's obviously, like, one of the greatest players of all time already. But, like, the fact that he went and joined the super team that was already really good without him, and he's kind of the second best player, maybe the best player, who knows – on that team, like, it kind of has changed the entire narrative on his career. And I'm wondering, like, how that would change if he went to another team. Like, does it fix that image at all, or does it make it worse that he keeps like jumping ship from team to team and he's not happy and there's all this talk about his like insecurity and all his burner accounts and all that sort of stuff?
I will say that I think during the playoffs, everything gets put under more of a microscope. There's been a lot of talk about Durant's chemistry with the Warriors. They were without Steph for a large part of this year. That Durant's still just in his second year there. I think a lot of that's blown out of proportion. This is still an absolutely incredible team. I think they basically just won the finals on the road in Game 7. I don't think Cleveland's going to put up much of a fight. I'm never going to count LeBron out because he's LeBron. But, no, I don't think he's leaving Golden State. And I think some of the off-court stuff matters, too. He seems somebody who's really invested in a lot of the off-court business ventures. And he's right in the middle of it. In San Francisco and Oakland and whatnot right now. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think it'd be crazy to even think of leaving the Warriors for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But like I said, that's how the LeBron rumor started. So it might be worth just tossing out there. I'll get to Grant to get him to Photoshop a Kevin Durant, LeBron James, both in Lakers jersey photos.
The Lakers already have had one all-time great who nicknamed himself after a snake.
I'm here
you guys know where the first line was going.
I'm here for it. That will do it for us today. That is all the questions we had. If you guys aren't already, be sure to subscribe to us follow us on Twitter. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, but we'll occasionally tweet out asking for questions on Twitter. That's where we got them today. We had a couple questions in chat that I answered, or that we answered. So we will be doing, here probably in the next week or so. I know Gary's mentioned it. He wants to do a mock draft podcast like we've done in the past. We're going to be doing a couple shows talking about the draft. If you haven't been on the site, check it out. We've been pumping out draft profiles for a lot of guys in the Lakers range. Be sure to go look at those. If you guys have any draft profiles you want us to do, be sure to tweet at us. We have a lot of them still coming, a lot of them scheduled, a lot of them being written and whatnot. We're trying to cover as many people as we can. Because last year we thought we had them all covered and Kyle Kuzma came out of nowhere. So we're hopefully going to avoid that this year and have everybody covered in that range. Like I said, follow us on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes. And, for Hani, this is Jacob signing off. Have a great one, everybody.
Shout out to Brian Colangelo.